That's what today's science show is about. From Sweden and Perth to South Georgia. Where? You know, turn right at the Falkland Islands. Population 32 in summer, 16 in winter. And about 10 million birds or more. But can a pastry chef be a science star? Well, Paulie Newman had to find out.
My name is Jerome Viard. So I work for South Georgia Heritage Trust. They don't just do habitat restoration. They also take care of the human history and cultural aspects of the island. So we manage the museum on behalf of the South Georgia government. We do tours and we try to educate people about the mistakes that have been done here and how to fix it. We work really hard on fixing these mistakes from the past. For example, the whaling, and now we see the whales coming back and it's just wonderful.
How long have you lived here?
So I arrived here on the 1st of November. This is only my second time. The first time was in 2015 for the rat eradication project. And I'm a museum assistant at the moment, but my real job is pastry chef.
Pastry chef back in the UK. And you're French?
Yes, I am. Just in case you haven't noticed my accent.
Tell me what it feels like to live here.
Oh, it's amazing. To be honest, before I came here, I didn't even know where South Georgia was. When I first came down the gangway from the ship that brought me here and I saw the penguins and the seals around me, it just broke my heart. It was just unbelievable. And then you get to learn all about this place, the history. It's not just about the wildlife. It's also about the human history. Oh, it's just a wonderful place. You know, the landscape is so dramatic. There are animals everywhere. And living here, I was able to see them from being born until, you know, they become teenagers. And I've seen all stages and I see them at night and during the day and in the snow and when it's sunny. You know, it's just an incredible experience. And I'm extremely grateful to be back again. People that come down here, they get that bug once they've seen it. They just want to come back all the time.
What were you doing to help the rat eradication program here in South Georgia?
I came as a chef and we were two chefs on the team and I cooked for a team of 20 people, including helicopter pilots, map specialists, a doctor and so on. So I was cooking for the whole team 7 days a week, a few meals a day. I was also helping baiting, so I went flying and emptied the bait into the buckets.
Why were the rats here in the first place?
So in 1775, James Cook came to the island, discovered the island and proclaimed it South Georgia in the name of King George III. Until then, everything was fine. But when he came back, he published his journal and all the seal hunters from the Northern Hemisphere were looking for new territories to go hunting. And they discovered that in James' journals, there was a lot of fur seals and elephant seals here. So the sealers from the Northern Hemisphere decided to come down. And on their ships, they brought rats and mice. After the sealers, it's the whalers that came. And with them, they also brought invasive species, such as the dandelion, and also animals like reindeer and more rats.
Now, you mentioned dandelions. I've seen them all over the place.
Yes, it's quite pretty because it's very colourful, but they are not native and they shouldn't be here, really.
And the rats caused a lot of damage, yes?
Yes, they did. Over 250 years, they just fed on the birds' eggs and chicks. There are no trees or bushes on South Georgia, so all our birds are nesting on the ground or underground. And it was just so easy for the rats and mice to just help themselves and a lot of food.
And in terms of numbers, was a crisis reached?
It was not so much because of the decline in the bird population. The emergency was that the island was divided by these glaciers that the rats could not cross. So the rats were contained on the north coast of the island. That's because of a couple of reasons. First, they arrived in these places where the sealers and whalers were settled. And also, they didn't colonize the rest of the island because in the middle of the island, you've got a mountain range that the rats didn't cross. And on the other side, it's very rough weather, very windy, steep cliffs, glaciers, and rats didn't like that. So they just stayed around where people were settled, the whalers and the sealers, and then just spread from there. So the emergency was not the bird population is decreasing too much, let's do something now. It's the glaciers are retreating. If we want to be able to bait the whole island, which is quite big, we need to do it in several years. And the glaciers enabled to do that because the rat-free zones were then contained and safe while the rest of the island was being baited. So the emergency was retreat of the glaciers and let's do it as quick as possible. To give you an idea, there is the glacier right next to the bay there and it's retreating at a rate of 2 meters a day, which is really fast.
2 meters a day. Goodness. Right. So with these rapidly retreating glaciers, I can imagine the problem.
Yes, yes. It would have been a freeway for them. The whole island would have been a playground for them, an open buffet.
Right, because the retreating glaciers gave pathways for the rats to cross between different areas of the island and soon they'd be all over the place.
Yes, exactly. Once the glaciers are retreated, there is no way we can stop them and bait the whole island in one season because we have to be here only during the summer. And even during the summer, the flight conditions are not always good. This is South Georgia. The weather changes very rapidly. We've got very strong winds and today it's sunny, but tomorrow it might snow.
And then, so how long ago did the government decide to actually invest money in getting rid of the rats?
In 2008, our charity, South Georgia Heritage Trust, decided to tackle this big rat eradication project. They decided to come over with 3 helicopters and over 3 years, they dropped 300 tons of rat poison.
And you were helping with this?
Yes, so I was here on the third phase. That was in 2015, so the last baiting phase.
And you were going up in the helicopters as well?
Oh, yes, I was. And I must say, this was amazing. Seeing this island from above is wonderful. And it's such a rare opportunity. No one flies over the island. We have no airport and no one can come here with helicopters. So seeing that with my own eyes was just magical. Flying from King Arkan Bay to Stromness, which is the crossing that Shackleton did, was just incredible and made me realize it must have been a nightmare to walk that, just this massive expanse of ice and crevasses and mountains.
Now, 3 years of baiting, and what happened?
In 2017, 3 years after the last bait pellet fell from the helicopters, we had a team coming back with some sniffing dogs. And they scouted the island. Before we left the island, we put some tags everywhere and traps. So if the rats were still alive, they would have not resisted these traps and these baits. And when the team came back with these 3 dogs, they checked all the traps. They were like little chew sticks, you know what I mean? So if there was any rats, they would have left some traces on them, chew sticks. They checked everything. The dogs did their job. And the 8th of May 2018, this island has been declared rat-free, which is an amazing achievement.
It really is for an island this big. I mean, it is a big island, isn't it?
It is a big island. And like I said, the only reason why it's been a success, it's because we did it while the glaciers were still standing. And to be honest, it cost us £10 million, which is not such a vast amount for such a big operation with helicopters and over 3 years. But for a small charity like us, it was a lot of money. So it was really great that we managed to achieve that with the donations, the sponsorships and help from other associations.
Oh, well done. So the rats have gone. And what's happened to the birds?
We already noticed the birds coming back after the first season of baiting. Especially our endemic birds, like the little singing bird, the pipit, the Antarctic pipit, the most southern singing bird, and also the South Georgian pintail duck. Both these birds are native from this island. They only breed here. They are endemic to this island. So if they were gone, they were gone. And they suffered a great deal when the rats were around. They literally just stayed on little islands that were rat-free around the main South Georgia island, and as soon as the rats left, they came back. So it was an amazing sight to see these little birds come back. And now they're breeding and their numbers have increased a lot. And we are expecting now to see the bird population to double the amount that is already on the island. So we're expecting another 100 million birds on this island. So it's going to make this island even more paradisiac than it was And that's just wonderful. So it's a great success.
And the albatrosses, were they affected? Do they breed here?
The albatrosses, yes, they do breed here. And of course, they were affected. The chicks and the eggs were eaten by the rats.
But also they're suffering from problems with fishing line, aren't they?
Yes, they are indeed. They go very far away to feed. So they breed here, but they actually travel all the way past the tip of South Africa and feed there. Our waters are very protected. We've got very drastic measures in terms of fisheries. But out there, international waters, fishermen can do whatever they want. And a lot of albatrosses die because of bycatch.
I hear that there's a project actually to put observers onto fishing boats to make sure that people actually are not by accident trapping the albatrosses.
Yes, that's one of the projects we're supporting. We have put some GPS trackers on the back of some grey-headed albatrosses to see where they're going and what ships, fishing ships, they cross and get in contact with. And then the aim is to go to these vessels and put some observers on board and tell them better techniques for fishing, because if they don't catch an albatross, they might catch a fish, which is a win-win situation, really. And it protects our birds here, while they are breeding on the island.
So you're obviously very keen on conservation, being on this very special place. And I see you've brought this book with you, and you've got some pictures in it.
Yes, I'm very lucky. I took a lot of photos when I came, obviously, every day. And a few of my photos have ended up in this really interesting book called Reclaiming South Georgia. And it's been written by Tony Martin, who was the project director.
Getting Rid of the Rats.
Yes, yes.
And the subtitle is The Defeat of Furry Invaders on a Sub-Antarctic Island.
Yes, yes. I'm so proud to have been part of this project, and even prouder that it's been a huge success. You know, it's really great. I hope I'll be back again in the future.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Jerome Viard, our first pastry chef from France. He's with the British Antarctic Survey there. Another superhero in this science show about what's possible. He was with Pauline Newman. South Georgia plus 100 million birds. Well done, Jerome. And that's Science Show number 2293, making 45 years of The Science Show. Only 15 years to go. My thanks to David Fisher and Hamish Camilleri and all the others who help. Now, do look out for the Baker Street Festival in Hobart. And yes, you can visit wherever you are. Science Art Walks, or SciArt Walks, is a link on our Science Show website showing all sorts of unexpected associations between art and science. Next week in the program, we have a barbecue of over 100,000 years. That's about 40,000 years older than the first signs of humans in Australia. And a distinguished graduate from Balliol in Oxford. You'll be surprised. I'm Robin Williams.